One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Welcome in, new friend of the show, Frenzy Designs. What is Frenzy Designs? That's where they take your pictures and they bring them to life in a cool custom sports design for you. Whether you need a great way to recognize your seniors or just a really cool team banner for your next tournament, Frenzy Designs can help. No order is too small, no place is too far away. They've shipped to 43 states in Canada just last year alone. We're going to help them get to 50 here in 2020. If you want to check out their work, visit frenzy-designs.com. That's with a dash in the middle, frenzy-designs.com. The symbol, not the words, idiots. Listen, frenzy-designs.com. Or you can give them a call today, 888-6-FRENZY. That's 888-637-3699. Frenzy Designs, your place for custom sports banners and posters. I will say, they make an absolute incredible gift for anyone. Coaches, players, teammates, the whole deal. They can make a banner for your outfield. They can make it fit up on your wall in your room. Whatever it is, it does not matter. Frenzy Designs will take your picture and bring it to life. Even if Cole Kublik doesn't think it's a sport, Frenzy Designs can still help you out. Like I said, check them out, frenzy-designs.com, or you can follow them on Twitter at Frenzy Designs as well, and be sure to tell them Cassio sent you. What's up, Candy Lickers? Pleased to meet you. Nice to know me. What you doing? You're listening to another edition of Cassio's Cut.
Hey, kid, look at me. I was burning down the school with gasoline. Say, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Say, white trash. White trash. Hey, kid, it's party time. We're kicking out the jams like the MC5.
Today, I got two good buddies of mine, previous guest. Now, Corey has the official record, I believe. You're tied with Conrad at three appearances.
Yay, yay.
Cut. Corey Ryan Forster is here, and FMK Matt Coon is here as well.
What's going on, Cassio?
We're good, man. I'm excited to have you guys. It's a big day for y'all two. You just started a podcast that is going directly against this one. I appreciate that.
Oh, shit. Was that today?
Wait, you have a podcast?
You're like, yeah, you schedule your shit? Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you've joined the Tuesday realm. And just tell everybody just a little bit about, one, what we can expect from the brand new podcast from you two.
Well, number one, I mean, I already have a podcast on Wednesday, so it's not like I was working with a full barrel there. I got my other podcast, the Well-Read Podcast with Trey Crowder and Drew Morgan. But on this is just your boy, Corey Ryan Forster, and my buddy Matt Coon. It's going to be, when we were conceptualizing this, in my mind, it is sort of a hybrid between a Johnny Carson show and like an old school Rick and Bubba / Bob and Tom / you know, all that stuff. We're gonna have an open monologue, we're gonna have a bunch of crazy zany running bits, we're gonna do fun parody songs. Just, it's gonna be all over the place, but at the same time, my buddy and very talented producer Matt Coon is going to keep it segmented and at least somewhat formatted so that it's not a true reflection of my brain, which is just scattered fuckery.
Yeah,
that
I'd
should
say
have been the name of it's the name
scattered
of the screen
fuckery.
Door, but scattered fuckery is.
Yeah, I'd say the secret of any success I've had is just me being lucky enough to know people who don't know how to do the one or two things I know how to do. And luckily, Corey needed something that required technical expertise, and I have a little bit. So I think I get to talk a little bit, but I'm mostly there to help Corey sew his genius ideas together.
Oh, you get to talk plenty. It's just you have to wait. You have to pick your spots where I pause for a second.
You know, there's a funny story to that. Corey, do you remember the first thing I asked you or said to you when you asked me to co-host your podcast?
No.
I said, no. So Cassio said no.
Right. That's true. You did. You did say so. Did Cassio say no?
I think, well, look, every show needs somebody to steer the thing, or like you said, it is scattered fuckery. So
yeah,
I think me and Corey's roles on a show would kind of be the same.
For sure.
Coon, you know, luckily for you, what you've got going for you is that you have a microphone and you're not funny. So you can kind of blend in with Corey.
That's the key. Yeah, Cassio, you have no idea how hard it is being as unfunny as I am. It's a skill that y'all two have no knowledge about. But for real, it's so much easier with two people. I'm sure you if you had someone that you could rely on who could help you steer the ship, it would be easier for you. It's 100%. I've done podcasts by myself. Two people, whether you're live on a stage, whether you're on radio, whether you're on podcast, is so much easier.
Well, my thing too is that, so on the Well Read podcast, I'm co-host, but I'm also the producer. So I'm the one that's putting it out every week. And I maintain that's the only part of that podcasting process that's even a little bit hard for me. Like when me and the guys record, we record for usually an hour and 15 minutes every Monday. That is nothing at all. But I was like, if I'm going to do another podcast, there's no way I can also write all the bits, record it, and then edit them and put, like, I can't do that part because I already do that once a week and that's enough for me. So, I mean, God bless you for taking on the role of what I consider sincerely the hardest part of it.
And I mean, we really have a lot to thank for Conrad Thompson, because I have been in the boot camp of podcasting for Conrad Thompson, where there's a show coming out 6 a.m. and I get a show at 8 p.m. at night with 12 commercials, and you know, and then he sends me another one at midnight. And luckily, it's got me in a position where, as easy as comedy is for you, it's easy for me to sew these things together.
Right.
So we got through the screen door out of all this, and so Corey, you approached Coon. You had an idea you wanted to do a solo podcast, and you approached Coon. What happened?
Me and Coon had been talking just back and forth for a while during the pandemic about, you know, and I, when we're on the text group together, I've got a lot of manic energy, and I've had a lot of time to think, like, well, fuck, I'm not on the road. I got to do something. And I've been wanting to do a separate podcast, and I've had this long running idea. I mean, it was just a nugget of an idea. Like, I want to do a show, but like, it's not just another white dude rambling or several white dudes in a room rambling. Like, there's going to be a structure. I'm going to write little bits. This will be, at the very least, if no one listened to it, I write something to force me every week to write a monologue and write current stuff, because, you know, I've made it no secret to my friends and you guys, like, I would love to work in the late night world someday, whether as a host or whatever that's going to look like in the next 20 years with all the streaming services. So I wanted to do something, but like I said, I was like, I cannot undergo another podcast where I have to edit and do all this stuff. And me and Coon had just been talking, and one night he just flat out said, he's like, hey man, you know, if you ever had an idea for blah, 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 and you needed my help with it, just to let you know, I'd be all in. And as soon as he said that, I was like, okay, motherfucker, well, let's do this. I immediately called that fat fuck's bluff. Like, it was the quickest anyone's bluff has been called. And he was just like, yeah, I'm in. And then over the next couple of weeks, we just kind of texted back and forth and kind of conceptualized what you're going to hear today.
And I mean, I know I can speak for Cassio when I say that there's nothing worse, as you say, than a podcast with a white guy rambling for an hour. You
know? Well, as long as it's about something, and I know you're doing this, it's a self burn here. I get that, but I'm saying, like, I know a lot of dudes are like, well, I've got a lot of time right now, I'm just going to do a podcast, and they just hit record and go, here's what. And for the record, there are dudes that works. Like, Bill Burr does the Monday morning podcast, and Cass, there, I'm not the guy. Like, you don't, like, I bet you I've got, like, I'd say out of 50 episodes, if my format was just hit record, and whatever is on my mind that day you hear. I would say out of 50 episodes, there would be two or three absolute bangers, and the rest would just be me frustrated that I forgot to get the instant pudding. You know what I'm saying? So, like, to me, it was like, no, I need to format this like I'm writing sketches, I'm doing monologues, we're going to do some fake funny commercials. And yes, there's going to be, obviously, me and Coon are going to banter because I got to give that fucker something to do.
As he smokes his cigarette, looking at his phone. Yeah. I've got a business. You, this is going to be on YouTube.
Yeah.
What a business.
I'm sorry. I have two concerts tonight, and I have like 14 parents who are texting me right now. I'm sorry. We were doing.
It's funny you say that because I guess it took Drew a little while longer to adjust to the fact that we recorded everything on Zoom and it was on video, and that I put it on YouTube. Because used to it was just strictly audio, and so like he'd be doing whatever it was he wanted to do while we were talking. And we had this episode of the Well Read podcast. It was this limited series that we did called Tiger by the Tail, and it was a 9-part retrospective of the hit documentary that swept the nation, The Tiger King. And in one episode, me and Trey and DJ are sitting there talking, and over in the corner, you can just see Drew mashing mashed potatoes. He's just in his kitchen. He just left us, and he just made, and then we start talking. We're like, Drew. And he's like, what? And we're like, dude, we're in the, like, this is a performance. Like, you got to be here. And he's like, oh, goddamn, I'm sorry. I was making mashed potatoes. I didn't think y'all could hear me. We're like, we can see you. You have a camera.
By the way,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I give Drew much cool points for making his own mashed potatoes. You know,
how they probably suck.
Yeah, but just going, I'm going to make these mashed potatoes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a win.
Sure. That is a win for sure.
Yeah, when you do video, it's different. I used to have a podcast host. We did interviews every week. I won't name his name, but he's on NXT television right now. And I used to literally text him the questions he would have to ask the person because he did not know what to ask. So he couldn't do video because he had no idea what to do. So I'd be texting him questions to ask the guest.
That's horrible.
It is.
All right, so we got monologues. We've got bits. We got fake commercials. Is the Buttercream Dream, which is the new internet sensation, going to make an appearance?
The Buttercream Dream will absolutely be making appearances. I can't say necessarily in what way, but I mean, he's going to be there. There's definitely going to be some promos cut specifically for the podcast. Probably some more fun ones, if I had to guess. Like the ones the Buttercream Dream puts out on the internet are, you know, usually fairly politically drivel. They are drivel. That was a Freudian slip. Okay. That was a Freudian fucking slip. They're usually political drivel. They're usually that's so goddamn funny. They're usually
again, another alternate name for y'all. Yeah.
Political drivel.
I'm checking out the domain name right now. Political drivel.
They're usually politically driven, but I would like to bring that character to life in more of a fun way, like by cutting. Because originally the concept of Buttercream Dream, I think I'd actually talked to it with both of you guys. I'd been wanting to do this wrestling character for a long time, but the first inception of it in my mind was I was going to start a YouTube series called Wrestling With My Emotions. And the whole thing was going to be, and the Buttercream Dream name wasn't a thing. I just knew that I was going to be cutting promos, and it was going to be on like my depression. Like every week I was going to be facing my depression, and I was going to be cutting, and it was going to be my way. It was going to be like my verbal diary, but I was going to try to make it funny. And then I realized like, God damn, I can only probably cut so many promos on my depression before, I mean, got to have a heel turn. And then what do? Kill myself on camera. And so I didn't know what, and I was like, well, fuck.
That's,
and then
2020.
Yeah. Just killing yourself in a Zoom meeting. Ah, damn.
Right, I can't really be a Patreon to see it.
Are you?
That's the highest tier.
Yeah. Our highest tier could see Corey kill himself this week. But so I didn't know what to do, but I knew I wanted to do something with like a wrestling character. And then I'm not allowed to say his name because he told me, you know, hey man, kayfabe this. But one of my friends, who you all know, sent me a belt, a wrestling belt. And when that belt came, it was a total surprise. Didn't tell me this was happening. And when that belt came into my life, I had it as the first belt I've ever owned. And I loved it. And one day I was sitting there and something happened on the news that just really, really pissed me off. And it was one of the, I didn't write nothing at all. And I was like, I'm going to go out in the yard and I'm going to scream about this. Just like how all rednecks, just like how Trey did during the liberal redneck thing that got us. I was like, I've got something to say and I really need to say it. As I'm walking out my house, that belt was right there and I just grabbed it and put it over my shoulder. And so I cut the video walking around my yard with that on my shoulder. I didn't address it. I didn't say I'm the Buttercream Dream because I didn't think of that name. But, like, it got a lot of clicks, and I found out the only reason it got a lot of clicks is because the thumbnail, you see this fucking shirtless dude with a belt over his shoulder, and that's – people were like, wait, what's going on here? And so that thing got so successful that I was like, oh, my God, I could do this. And then one night late, I was drunk. Me and my manager came up with the name Buttercream Dream, and now it's on.
Now it's game on.
Yeah, it's game on. It's been a lot of fucking fun, too.
Those are dropping every Wednesday, right?
Yeah, those are dropping every Wednesday. But I did decide the other day that it's like, look, if something happens on Monday that's insane, there's probably going to be a Buttercream video. You know what I'm saying? Because it's I've noticed that the ones that get the most clicks are when it's about a certain someone who did a certain something. You know what I'm saying? And if I wait for Wednesday for the thing, it's like, well, what if nothing happens on Wednesday? So yeah,
Corey's learned the secret that, like, topical stuff should probably be current.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, though, it always is something current, but it's like I'm always waiting, like, well, surely to God something will happen late Tuesday night or Wednesday, and sometimes that's just not the case. Sometimes the biggest thing that's going to happen that week happened on Monday, and you better just go ahead and fucking do it right then.
Are you guys going to be on YouTube for this podcast?
I don't know. Are we?
I think we are going to be on YouTube. One thing Corey and I have in common, besides inflated egos and bouts of depression, is neither of us have our shit together at all. So it's possible we should. It probably will, but it might not. You never know.
Well, look, if we're recording it video-wise, then, I mean, yeah, there's no reason for it not to be. Actually, you know what? It will be on YouTube. It just will not be up on YouTube at the same time that the audio is up every week. I'll say that. I can stand by that.
This is how Corey and I make decisions. We usually do it while we're recording.
Yeah, while we're recording a podcast with somebody else. They ask us a question. We go, you know what? Goddamn, I ain't never thought about that. Sure, fucking nice. Set it up.
I was about to say, is this y'all's first meeting on
Wednesday? Yeah. Yeah,
YouTube. That's a great idea.
Hey, you say I don't
you
have
guys
my shit
have
together.
A website.
Look at this. Look at this behind me. Look at this huge to-do list that I have in my office. Stuff strictly for this podcast. And look at all those goddamn check marks. Don't tell me that I don't have my shit together. By my estimation, that's as close as to college as I'll ever be. I got a fucking whiteboard, son.
Are you to-do list guy?
I have to when things get complicated, but generally I keep things in my head. But when it comes to this stuff,
I can't do that.
I do have when I have other people depending on me, I usually make a list.
Ooh, that sounded serious. Other people depending on me.
Yeah, you know? See, like Coon's gonna remember to go get another carton of Virginia Slim cigarettes. Like he doesn't have to write that shit down.
No, that's like a reflex. It's like a muscle.
Yeah.
Well, the other night, of course, we all three venture in and out of ad-free shows podcast, which is the Think Tank turned into the Sad News Bears. And Corey, you missed last week where we found out what everybody was getting for dinner that night. And
Matt Coon, was a very sad.
Yeah, well, Matt Coon had his son go to the gas station, so. That hit right on brand, brother.
Wait, hold on just a second. What did you want from the gas station?
It's a Wawa. So
okay, Wawa's are
it
nicer.
It sounds better as a gas station.
It does. It's a funnier joke. I should have had a better. I should have said an old tuna sandwich and a burrito. I know.
But I was gonna say, like, that seems like a place you go when it's like, oh, I'm in a hurry. I got to do this thing. Like, if you're sending somebody, you can fucking send them anywhere.
He got a sub sandwich.
We had a couple sub sandwiches and we had two sub sandwiches and two chips. See, this is why I'm not good at comedy. See, when you guys do comedy, and this is actually happened with Corey already, like instead of building on the comedy, I defend myself.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know that it's a bit. So I'm like, motherfucker, that's not true. Like, it's a Wawa.
Yeah, like, you got to lie.
Funny.
How about this? Here's how he checks out on brand. He sent his son back later to get chocolate milk and dessert.
There it is. There it is. Okay, that's officially a gas station.
You know, you got to have your king-sized Hershey's and your king-sized Reese's and your king-sized chocolate milk. How are you supposed to go to sleep at night?
Not with a stomach ache, I guess, but I'm with you. Like, I'm still doing the same shit. Like, I can't. Dude, last night, no, not true. Well, yes, okay, last night I did eat pudding, but this is not the pudding story I wanted to tell. The reason that I ate pudding last night was because I was told that I ate pudding the night before, and I was like, dang, my wife was like, it looked like it was really hitting for you, but I was blackout drunk, so I don't remember it. So last night, I wanted to remember pudding. That's the name of my new special. I wanted to remember pudding. My wife told me that two nights ago, I was blackout hammer drunk, and she says she always knows when I'm blackout hammer drunk, because I just will randomly start arguing with no one about how great the movie The Departed is, even though she's heard me say this a million times and agrees with me. And she always knows if I ever start talking about The Departed, she can do almost anything because I'm not going to remember whatever it was, because that means I'm blackout. But apparently I went to the kitchen and cooked and ate by myself an entire family-sized instant Jell-O lemon pudding.
Jeez.
Ain't that something? And then last night, I had pistachio.
Look, I knew you had a love
for pudding. I'm pudding eating drunk, son.
I knew you had a love for pudding. If they've seen any of your stage set parts, they know you have a love for pudding. But
yeah,
I did not know it ran this deep.
Oh, it's not kayfabe, son. I fucking shoot love pudding.
And this has happened so many times. Corey and I, we have a lot of interests in common, you know, because this morning I was talking about The Departed with my son. We were talking about Greek tragedies, because I explained to him that this movie I didn't like because it wasn't set like a Greek tragedy. And I explained what that was. And I said, every Scorsese movie's like that, except The Departed, which kind of has another plot line, which is a Greek tragedy in reverse, blah, blah, blah. I know it's not funny, but it's a good coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, no, I could talk about The Departed all day. It's
a reverse Greek tragedy.
Well, yeah, because the one character was in shit at the beginning and turned out okay at the end.
That is true.
I think that was the Leo character. But the other character,
I mean, yeah, his arc is fine, but I wouldn't say that he turns out okay.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you like going for the big sleep in an elevator shaft, then yeah, I mean, that's good.
I guess I was just going for redemption.
But no, you're right. Like, his character, yeah. No, 100%, absolutely.
Because, of course, like Goodfellas is, you know, the pattern, or you know, Oedipus, whatever, you know, where everything's going awesome, 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 and then all of a sudden, you know, get Mikey to stir the fucking gravy and everything goes to shit, you know?
Right. And arguably, maybe he did want to die. Maybe that is a great ending for him, because he seemed exhausted. And, I mean, all his family was fucking dead. Like that. I mean,
I think Tarantino directed the last scene. I think Scorsese directed all of it except the last
scene. For sure. Yeah, I mean, because, like, dude, I'm not like – I don't like – I love my life. I really do. But there's some days I wake up and I'll just be like, you know, if I hadn't have woke up, that'd been fine too. Like, I've been all right. You know, like, I'm just so fucking – like, I'm not – I don't want to die. I'm just so tired of being fucking alive sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make any sense? I'm just worn out.
More than you know.
Y'all are getting this sneak peek at that top Patreon level of Corey's feelings for through the screen door.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I don't want to wake up.
Yeah, for $25, you can be a one in the chamber member.
Every week, Corey spins the chamber. Yeah.
You get a daily 5 minute, you get a 5 minute podcast to see if he's alive and how's he feeling about waking up.
Yeah.
And every member gets a chance to talk Corey out of suicide every week.
And for $1,000, you can come fucking shoot me. Just y'all make checks payable to my wife.
That's called the Super Dave level.
You got to bring cash and leave it at the house when they get there for your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Through the screen door, dropping today. You guys have a lot in common. What was some of the other names that you tossed around? Let's go behind the curtain here. Let's go through the screen door.
The first one that we had was Sup Y'all, That's what it was, just sup, y'all.
Okay.
And it was just like, you know, I say that all the time, sup, y'all. And we were going with that, and everything was good. And then I wrote it out, and I was looking at this font that I was using. I was like, God damn, that looks so familiar. Like, why does that look familiar to me? And then I remembered I had been on a podcast like 7 months before that was just called Sup. So I had, sup. And it was my buddy Chaney's, and it's about fashion lifestyle. And I went on there and we talked about shoes and shit like that. And I was like, oh, goddamn, all I did was just add y'all. And I was like, well, we can't do that shit. And I don't know, man. Do you remember any of the other iterations, Coon?
Yeah, it was Corey. When Corey gets on a theme, he keeps going. So it was anything Southern. He's like, what about grits? What about fried chicken? What about porch? What about? So there was a lot of like on the porch. There was a lot of, you know, hey, y'all. There was a lot of that, you know, but
yeah,
we just, you know,
I was throwing out a lot of shit, hoping we could just filter through it.
I mean, the basic idea is, you know, a country dinner supper club where people kind of talk around the supper table and you're peeking in through the screen door and hearing the conversation.
Well, we can't wait to check it out. Hopefully every week right after they still listen to this podcast, they have time to fill in for y'all. Are you guys going to have guests?
I don't think what I'm going to not do is have a guest every week. That's not going to be a thing. Basically it's like, as I've heard Conrad say this, it's like, well, if you do that, you're going to find that there's not 52 fucking interesting people.
Since you are on this week.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're proving that theory.
But the thing is, like, you're welcome to come on anytime. That would probably be what it was, that I'll only
have a floater.
Guest. I'll only have a guest when it's like, oh, Cassio has this thing to promote. Of course he's coming. And like, I can count on you. Like, you're always going to come in straight flames, but I'm not just going to like, okay, this week we got to have somebody. Cause I mean, you know, it's like Johnny Carson didn't always have a comedian at the end of the show sometimes, but if there was a good comedian he saw at the store, he'd put him on. But every week he didn't think, oh, I've got to have somebody to close this as a comedian. Cause that would really take away the, you know, the appeal of it. But there is, you know, there's something too in my mind, like, oh shit, my buddy BJ Barham, American Aquarium's putting out a new album this week. Maybe he's going to come on for 5 minutes and then we'll close the show with one of his songs. I'm very interested in that, but I'm not interested in this is the format. It has to have a guest. Therefore each week we're going to scramble.
Yeah. So what you're looking at, Cassio, is basically disorganization masked as flexibility. So we're flexible, but at the same time, what Corey's saying is 100% true. Cassio, you know this better than anybody. Having a guest is great. Lining that shit up every week and making
sure.
That's
the work part of it.
We've got to get a guest. Yeah. I've got to get a guest for Tuesday. I got to get a guest. And next thing you know, you got fucking Jay-Z on Skype. And,
yeah,
you know, what are you going to do?
Whoa.
Jay-Z on Skype. What a shot there from out of nowhere. From out of nowhere. All right, tell them how they can listen. I assume it's on every podcast platform there is.
Absolutely.
You got some media set up yet?
Absolutely. We have our Patreon site, which is patreon.com/screendoor. You can listen on all of your podcast platforms. You can subscribe right now on iTunes and any other platform. Through the Screen Door is the name of the show. Through the Screen Door with Corey Ryan Forster. And, of course, there is a YouTube channel coming that I've been working on for the last few months. So we're going to get that going as well, but make sure to listen every single week on your favorite podcast platform.
So I got a question. This could be a new segment. We're going to test it out on you guys. And I brought this in just to help.
If it's good, by the way, we're stealing it for Through the Screen Door.
Fuck, you're not.
Hey, Cassio, hold on a second.
Not stealing, borrowing.
Oh, hey, Cassio, just hold on 1 second. Welcome to the newest segment on Through the Screen Door with our special guest, Cassio. All right, go ahead, buddy.
There you go. That way you don't have to fix it in post, as
yeah,
we said.
Yeah, it's already done. Yeah, it's already done.
Is that my koozie?
Corey and Amber, June Tooth, 2018.
June Tooth! That's what the doctor said I had. You got that June Tooth, boy. Goddamn. How much lemonade you had this month? Woo.
So you guys know about this saying, of course, which is something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. So I had this idea for a segment for music, and I want to tie. That's the theme of it: something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. So here's what we're going to do. Something new, something old will be a band, an artist, an album, just something that's older. You know, nothing even close to being new music. Something classic that you can always go back to. You always find yourself rolling back into that. It's a go-to. Whichever one of you want to start that off.
Well, I don't, Corey's been preparing all day, so I know he's got something to say. So for me, I've got recently Sebastian Bach and Chris Jericho got into it online about singing and stuff.
It's a
and
great one.
I can always go back to Skid Row. I think, first of all, I showed a vocal student Sebastian Bach yesterday. I can always go back to I Remember You, that first album, Youth Gone Wild. But the second album, Slave to the Grind, is one of the most underrated rock albums of all time. And to me, it would have been a huge, huge hit. But about the same time, a band named Nirvana came out with their album, and everything changed. So Slave to the Grind by Skid Row is something old. I want to say 1990, 1989, something like that.
Corey Ryan Forrester, something old.
Okay, so something old. Number one, my favorite. This literally might be just my favorite song of all time, but it's definitely my favorite old song. It's the song Build Me Up Buttercup by The Foundations. No song, regardless of what mood I'm in, I could literally be at my lowest of lows, and I put on Build Me Up Buttercup, and I'm immediately soaring through the clouds in just a suit made of peanut butter. You know what I mean? Like, everything's good. It reminds me of being a kid listening to oldies radio with my parents. Then also, it was used in the outro of one of my favorite movies, Something About Mary. So every time I hear the song, I also think of Brett Favre and somebody having cum in their hair and, you know, Earl Brown playing a mentally handicapped guy asking about beans. Like, it's just a great song that's always going to make me feel great. My favorite old album is The Legend of Jesse James with LaVon Helm playing Jesse. Johnny Cash is his brother Frank James. Charlie Daniels is Cole Younger. And Emmylou Harris is Jesse's wife, Zerelda James. God, I wish that I shot her just for that name. Also featuring Roseanne Cash and Rodney Crowell. So it's just an all-star cast. It's a concept. Oh, it's amazing. It's a concept album where, like, it plays to your ears like a movie to your eyes. Like, it's absolutely tremendous. It takes you through Jesse James from being a child and kind of getting picked on to joining the army, going through the Civil War, and then ultimately to his demise. And on the LaVon Helm tip, my favorite old band is The Band with LaVon Helm, Robbie Robertson, Richard Manuel, Rick Danko, Garth Hudson. I think that there's probably – I don't think there's been a month go by in my adult life that I haven't thrown on, even if it was just to go to bed, the Martin Scorsese-directed Last Waltz by The Band. I think it's the greatest musical documentary DVD ever, and I think that they were just absolutely tremendous, and I hate that they stopped when they did, because I think we would have just had so much more from them. So that's my list of my favorite old things.
And much like any Scorsese movie, it follows the Greek tragedy all inside of the Neil Young performance.
That's true. Oh, that's sweet, Cassio. What is that?
Oh, look at that. What is that?
It's got the screenplay, the director's notes.
Oh.
Scripts, set lineup.
My jaw literally dropped just now. I think I
need that. Oh, that's bad. I got to get that.
I need that.
Wife got this for me for Christmas. It's the best gift she's got me.
That super hits. I've got a book that's just on The Band that's similarly sized, but it's not that, and that's what I want. That's fucking badass.
What a great – I mean, every band, every person deserves that, to have their moment, their career encapsulated as perfectly and framed as perfectly as Scorsese did for The Band. I wish every band, every artist had that. It's amazing, right,
Corey? Well, the thing is, they can't, because you have to be that – you have to hit that hard, and not many do, like The Band. I mean, not many people were – you know, I mean, as a lot of people don't know, the reason that they're called The Band – is because they were Bob Dylan's backing band, and they were just always called Bob Dylan and The Band. And for them to just be like, yeah, that's the fucking name, we're going with it.
You'll appreciate this, Coon, with the concerts you've put on and stuff. This is all the stage lineups and the lighting and everything for everybody's set.
Oh, the stage plot. That's amazing, yep. Man.
That's rad.
Where's Neil Young's Coke table? Is it somewhere?
Paul Butterfield.
the nose booger?
Where is that? You know, on one version, if you go, if you watch it on TV, they have CGI'd the Coke booger out. And I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the Han shot first Coke boogerless fucking edit.
That's my favorite Hollywood line is somebody got paid and as he can tell everybody on his resume, he CGI'd Neil Young's cocaine booger off the last
That's pretty rad,
that
man.
Smashes.
That does smash.
The interesting thing about that concert is that, you know, they make it this big special thing with all these guest stars coming up, but the most impressive songs are the ones just by the band. Like those are just
for sure. Without a doubt.
All right, let's ask you this. This is off script. Who hits the hardest in that in Last Waltz?
Van Morrison as a singer, but without a doubt, and especially if you know, not a lot of people know this because they don't really show this in the Last Waltz. But if you know it, then it's really something. Van Morrison has, and still to this day, suffers pretty crippling stage fright. Like for the most part, he plays all his concerts in sunglasses because as much of a tremendous performer as he is, he still does not like the crowd. So when the guys asked him, hey, you know, come do this concert, blah, 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 and there's going to be this many people here, he was like, he really didn't want to do it because number one, he's afraid of crowds. And number two, it's like, this isn't my crowd. So it's even different. It's even more different. Like, not only am I performing in front of a crowd, I'm performing in front of your crowd and maybe they don't want me here. So he was super nervous about doing it and really didn't want to. So if you go back and watch that, and as soon as he gets out there, he's kind of staring at the ground doing the song, but he's crushing so hard, and you can realize the moment when he knows that he's crushing, he starts letting it loose, and then he starts doing the kicks. And when he starts doing the kicks, you look back, and you can see Levon Helm sitting there, and he looks at Rick Danko, and Rick Danko smiles back at him. And that's just them acknowledging, like, holy shit.
He's in it.
He's in it. Like, he was super scared to come out here, but he don't give a fuck right now. That's how hard he's murdering. And you could tell that they both knew, like, man, we're really, really in the middle of something special right now.
There's nothing better, and I'm sure with comedy.
Second Dr. John, by the way. Go ahead.
There's nothing better than that moment. I live for that moment on stage where you're like, I always say it's like, have you ever seen a school of minnows swim and they all follow each other really quickly?
Yeah.
That's how interactive it can be on stage.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's no better feeling in the world than that. And
getting that pocket.
I mean, for me, the whole concert is the Levon Helm show. I just think he's awesome.
Agreed. Agreed.
I think there's a moment on stage. There should be every time, and it's that moment where, as many times as you've done it, even if you're doing old material 100% through, and you know, hey, this should be a good show. There's always a moment where you go, all right, I got him. And like you said, now I can throw in the kicks. Now I can try some stuff. I can venture out a little bit. I can slow down a little bit.
I call that the one set of footprints in the sand moment. you know what I'm saying? That famous quote about ask Jesus. Jesus, if you were with me the whole time, then why is there only one set of footprints in the sand? And he said, well, that, my son, is when I was carrying you. And that, to me, when there's one set of footprints, that's when I'm the Cho. Corey, the comedian, has hit such a stride that, like, I just let my subconscious holds me and just takes me on this fucking ride. And it's almost like you can do no wrong. And Van Morrison, in that moment, he was such in that pocket that the artist within him was just puppeteering the human being on stage.
Well put. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, we got something old. Now we got to go something new. What's some brand new, the newest music you can think of? A song recently that hit you, a band you just discovered that's new, anything new in the musical world in your life?
Ken?
Well, I'm so old. I remember the Louis C.K. joke where he talks about when he thinks of a hot girl, he still thinks of Britney Spears and she's like 40. You know? So I'm so old. I have to stay current for my students as much as I can. But for me, the only artists that have really hit me hard in the last few years have been Bruno Mars, of course, and as well as Childish Gambino, who I think is fucking brilliant. I just think I love him. You know, I'm a big Lenny Kravitz fan. I'm a big fan of people who can do everything on their own and who can work by themselves. I don't know why, because that's the way I am. But Childish Gambino, I dig everything he does.
Corey? Something new.
Okay, so right now, my favorite new song is the song Out of Sight by Run the Jewels featuring 2 Chainz. It's on their new album, RTJ4. And the reason that I like this song specifically in the Run the Jewels catalog is because, as a lot of people know, Run the Jewels, usually their themes for each of their albums is fuck the establishment, fuck the popo, fuck the system, and it still remained true in Run the Jewels 4. However, when they had 2 Chainz featured on a song, it's almost like 2 Chainz got a call and they were like, okay, 2 Chainz, so you're going to feature on this album by a group called Run the Jewels. Now, just to let you know, Run the Jewels, this is kind of what they're about. That they're fuck, all the songs are fuck the police or fuck the establishment or fuck the system. And it's like 2 Chainz just went, yep, most of them going to be, you know, because he's like, not my part. So they come in and they're staying true to their theme. And then 2 Chainz comes in. And this is one of my favorite excerpts from 2 Chainz verse on the song Out of Sight by Run the Jewels. He says, I get a text like, stay safe. I text back, I miss that pussy. Be home soon and I can't wait. I came from a dream, triple beam and some gray tape. Yeah, assistant went shopping, put my bags in the A8. Hello, Mr. Big Faith. The bank teller trying to get ranked. I'll buy a hot dog stand if I'm trying to be frank. Now, look, guys, I've known some poet laureates in my time, but to me, Titty Boy takes the cake in this new song that has really just fired me up. My favorite new album right now is Reunions by the man Jason Isbell, and it's a new album in terms of it's come out this year. I think it's tremendous. I think the guys knocked it out of the park once again. I think that they properly took the temperature of the room and really just cranked out a good one. And my favorite new band is a group that I think you guys will like. They're called Have Gun, Will Travel. They kind of have a little kind of modern Petty-ish, Tom Petty-ish vibe, and they're also a bunch of good old boys out of Florida, so I'm certain that they come by that honest. So that's what all my new shit that hits for me.
The name of the band is Have Gun, Will Travel?
Yeah, and on like my album, it's abbreviated HGWT, I assume, because they were like, God damn, that's a long fucking name.
I love watching Corey trying to figure out what the initials were of those words.
Yeah. I had to look.
That was in his head right there.
In my mind, I had to picture the album. I was like, I can't read, I can just see like shapes. And I'm like, that's a G.
And see shapes.
I can see that looks like a chair that would hurt my back. That must be a G.
All right, something old, something new, something borrowed. Give us the last time somebody hit you with a musical suggestion, kind of like Corey just did, but last time somebody hit you with a musical suggestion, said, hey, you should check this out. Either it hit and missed, whatever, just something that comes to mind where somebody gave you a musical suggestion.
Well, honestly, as you know, I have no social life and I have no friends, so no one suggested any. You know who does suggest stuff for me is Conrad. He once in a while will just screenshot his phone and just send me what he's listening to. And
it's always usually, rap.
It's always, yeah, so yeah. That's you too. And, you know, I work for Conrad technically, and I do a lot of work for him, but sometimes in the span of a month, all I get from him are screenshots of 2 Chainz songs.
Yeah.
But most of that.
That's what best friends are, you fucking idiot. I know that you're 70, but like, that's what we're doing now.
I don't know anybody. But for me, most, like you say, 2 Chainz, I don't understand that music. And I'm also a musician, so I don't say just because I don't get it, it sucks.
Right,
but like,
yeah.
When I start hearing those hi-hats, you know, I know that's what I, when I hear the hip-hop nowadays, the hi-hats, it's always, you know, it doesn't hit for me. But Conrad's just like, this song is fucking amazing, you idiot. And I'm like, okay.
Yep.
But
I agree with him.
Conrad tells Coon that while he sends a screenshot because he knows it's not going to hit for Coon.
Yeah, he doesn't wait for a response. He doesn't wait for a response. He says, hey, by the way, this song is great, you fucking idiot.
And you're an idiot. And Coon's like, yeah, checks out.
Yeah, no, so I only have to listen to him.
I mean, I know Conrad's not going to listen to this, but I always just go, that's awesome, dude. I love that. That hits. Fucking A, you fucking Alabama genius.
You're placating his rap. I like it.
Dude, well, what am I going to do? Argue with Conrad? He will debate club me, and then I'll be wrong.
What's the debate club? What's the last? Because I don't even really have a grasp on what your musical taste is. Like, what did you? What's the last music you just listened to? Like, not for concerts or your school, where you just like, I need to get in the groove and listen to some music.
I like a lot of musician music, you know, like music that only musicians like.
Technical like, stuff, like Steely Dan. Like,
yeah. Oh God, Steely Dan's fucking.
Well, I love Steely Dan too, but I know that that's their. That's like their whole thing. They're musicians. And then there's that, like, what's it called? Math rock or whatever.
Yeah. See, but I need to have like creativity too. So for me, I go to Bela Fleck and the Flecktones a lot. And
oh, I got to hang out with them. They were great.
Yeah. And two of the guys in the band I know really well. One of them is one of my best friends. And the fact that I can listen to it and Matthew and I listen, I'm like, man, listen to fucking Victor right here. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And it, you know the person, so you're just like smiling because they're so successful, but at the same time you're so God, you're nowhere near as good as that motherfucker, and it just, you just are in awe of it, but you like him, so you can be happy and not jealous,
right?
something borrowed for you, Corey.
Okay, so my something borrowed, and I wrote all these out. It was I was going to do a something borrowed that was an album, a person, and a song, and all three of them were recommended by the man himself, Cassio Kid.
Me?
Yep. The artist was Paul Cawthon. The song was, the album was Cocaine Country Dancing, and the song was Big Velvet. And I'm here to tell you that all three, rat tat tat, fucking smash out the. I mean, dude, just off the fucking Richter. I haven't. It's been a while since I fell in love with a human being or an artist immediately. Like the first, usually like if someone suggests me something, I'll listen to it and I'll be like, okay, I'll dive in more. The literal first time that I heard Big Velvet, I was like, where the fuck has this motherfucker been my whole life? Is Elvis still alive? And he's just this guy. Like what's happening? I also immediately, like after one listen to the song, I texted my agency and I said, hey, I need to update my writer because I need Big Velvet to be my walkout song. Like it's the new song. And then we didn't get to tour cause there's no fucking God, but like, you know, it's Paul Cawthon. I can't thank you enough, Cassio, for telling me about that guy.
I've only met him when I didn't even meet him, but my only interaction personally is when we recorded the podcast and he fell right where I thought, which was he could jump right in our group and smash.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought he's exactly what I needed. He was like that off mic and, you know, before and after we recorded.
Yeah.
And 100%, like I told him, can you imagine a wrestler or a comedian coming out to Big Velvet? It's a smash.
So. Unreal. Unreal. Dude, I was almost worried about it when I sent that because I was like, man, that's really going to set the bar for me being way fucking cooler than I am. Like I'm more funny than, and this song is super cool, but maybe the juxtaposition will work. Like maybe people will understand what I'm going for. But so I don't know.
I
was going to say, anytime you put the word cocaine in any title, it's always cool. It always works.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, my buddy Dave Lottam, who's in a band, I told him about Cocaine Country Dance. I was like, dude, they play a lot of frats and stuff. I said,
yeah.
They're going to eat this song up. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
All right. I mean, I get it. I kind of like it. And then he just hit me one late Friday night. He goes, we just played it during our break. And now people wanted to repeat it and not want us to come back.
Yeah.
They're like, y'all can take your break. Will you just play the song again? We're doing this.
It fucking rules, man. It's good shit. And again, man, I've never, like, he legit sounds like fucking Elvis Presley, man. It's wild.
That album, Room 41, too, is he can goes from that to a super deep song where he is way up in the feels.
Yeah.
I do want to change one of my answers because I suck. But, a band I discovered since the band I mentioned was St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Which oh, they're great.
You both know Paul. And, dude, like, I told this story on ad-free shows. You know, he got us tickets to Lock-In. I said, hey, we're going to go to Lock-In. I hope I run into you. And he's like, I'll give you tickets. I'm like, fucking, that's cool. And I took a student. And I was hyping up this band the whole time to the student. So, like, it would have been easy to disappoint. And I can barely talk about that concert without getting tears in my eyes.
Yeah, man.
So fucking good. Like, oh. I was so jealous and so happy. You know, when you see someone kill, I don't know if you guys go this, but you wish you were up there instead. But yep. like,
oh yeah,
it's just, oh my God. He's just a dude. And like, he sings like an angel, but the way he held that crowd, man, I'm telling you, that guy is probably gonna be the biggest rock star in the world at one point.
I thought you were gonna say something, Corey.
Did you? No,
I was. You took a breath like you're about to say something.
No, I took a breath. I took one of them fucking pudding breaths. Is what I took.
That was an odd breath.
I agree with Paul about that. And I don't know, Cassie. Did you see the tweet that he tagged me and you in a couple weeks ago?
Which one?
He tagged us when he said, I don't know if these guys remember, but it was on this day last year that the Casio Kid and Corey Forster almost killed me with a fish platter in Vegas, because you were there, Coon, when we went to that little pub after was it All In or Double or Nothing? Which one was it?
Yeah, that was the Double or Nothing when I big leaked Paul because I didn't know who the fuck he was.
Which you should literally never do to even someone that works the drive through at a liquor store. But
he was like, "I'm a musician." I'm like, "That's nice."
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You look like a fuck. Yeah. Well, that's cool because you look like an idiot. we made him. He didn't drink, but so we were like, "Oh, well, you got to do something terrible. Eat these fish and chips." And then he literally had emergency appendicitis the next day.
He literally almost died on the airplane then talked about it. He went to the hospital and then almost lost his voice permanently from where they put tubes in his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, he was really bad. Yeah. And it was super touch and go. And he was like, here's my goal. I got 2 months. Y'all can cancel whatever you want. But we got the Rolling Stones in Chicago to open up for.
Yeah.
We're going to hit that show.
Yeah, that's happening.
Yeah. I might go somewhere else. I'm not going to Detroit. But yeah. I'll let you boy when Rolling Stones comes back.
Yeah, absolutely.
The best part of that is there was like 9 of us there, and I believe he paid for the meal. So he paid for his own death that people made him eat.
Yeah, well, he did.
I hate to keep going back, but if you haven't heard his episode, go listen to everybody that's listening to this. He talked about he can't go out and socialize when he's at home in Birmingham now, of course, because everybody wants to talk to him. And usually when he goes anywhere, it's because he's on tour and people notice him. And he was like, it was a blessing to be in a city full of wrestling fans, because I don't have a lot of crossover wrestling fans to save on the broken bones. And he said, I haven't had a lot of fellowship, just going out to eat with nobody saying anything. And he goes, I had such a blast. And I was like, well, you're an asshole because you secretly went off and paid for the tab. That's what you are.
Yeah, he did. After me and him argued for about 20 minutes on whether or not the movie Ready to Rumble hit. And also, if you want to listen to my podcast, the Well Read Podcast, I can't remember which episode it was, but Paul Janeway did an episode. Actually, before I met him, it was just him and Trey in a hotel room. And I won't give anything away other than to say he tells a very good masturbation joke.
From Paul?
From Paul, yep.
Oh,
that's how I knew. I was like, oh, this is my guy right here.
He's my favorite singer right now. He's fucking awesome.
Well, he's just objectively amazing.
Yeah, objectively, for sure.
Yeah, and he's a guy, like you mentioned earlier, Coon. He's usually when a singer or band is a hit, there's one of two things are usually given. They're either great live or they're great in the studio. And you start really having success when the band you hear in the studio is the band you get live.
Yep.
And St. Paul is a singer. If you just went, listen to them sing on this track, I'm going to play this for you, he'll smash you. And if you go, now go see him where he hits those same notes. And by the way, he's in a shiny robe the whole
standing
time.
Standing up on a fucking platform and just and absolutely giving it.
Dude, he walked through this festival that had like 100,000 people, walked through the crowd, went to the sound booth, and stood on top of the speakers like Jesus on the cross and singing this last song. Everybody was turned to him. He's something else, man.
He sounds like Aretha Franklin, dresses like Ric Flair, and looks like the IT guy. Yeah. Like all that stuff put together is just tremendous.
Great stuff. So that's how –
We didn't do Blue.
Yeah, that was Borrowed, and you did Paul Gart. Well, I was making sure we got both y'all in. And to wrap it up, Something Blue. Give me a song. Give me an album. Give me an artist, whatever you want to go with. Something that gets you in your feels. Something that can make you cry every single time, no matter how hard you heard it. It'll always get in your feels every time you listen to it.
Music making me cry is not a new thing. My kids who I work with, this is not a joke, by the way, especially the teens who I've worked with a long time, when they're playing concerts, they look at me because they know it's not worth shit unless I cry. Like, I cry that much where they know if my eyes are watering, they had a good show. So there's even rock songs can, even just something that's great can do it. But if we're going for Blue, you know, I didn't have the best childhood in the world, as you know. Father and Son by Cat Stevens gets me every freaking time.
Every time.
That's a good one.
Every time I try to explain, he gets up and walks away again. It's always the same sad story. It fucking gets me every time. And he sings way better than me. So much better.
We're going to lose Kane in just a second if you keep singing it.
Yeah. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen, but now I know. Sorry, go ahead.
I love it. This is what we need. Scattered fuckery. This is what we need, son. You broke out the guitar and was about to sing Build Me Up Buttercup, and I got pissed. You put it
I was
back
trying
down.
To figure it out, like, because when it's a song, and I'm like, I don't know. Why don't you build me up,
buttercup, baby, just to let me down. Mess me around, and then worst of all, you never call, baby, when you say you will. I love you still. I need you. More than anyone does. Yeah, shit.
I'm not so mad.
When I hear something and I don't know it, I'm like, okay, I bet I know it, but I just don't know I know it. So I had to pick up the guitar and be like, yeah, I know that song. But yeah, that's a great tune. But yeah, it's a gift though. Like if I wanted to, I could play, you know, I'm not going to cry, but it's not time to make a change. Just relax and take it easy. You're still young. It's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want to, you can marry. Look at me. I am old, but I'm happy. Jesus. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
It's getting clipped.
Every Cat Stevens
song. That song does hit really hard. It's on the soundtrack for Guardians 2 at a very great moment.
You know, and I just, if I ever meet Cat Stevens, and by the way, he put out some good stuff like 5 years ago under his new name, Yusuf. And if I ever meet Cat Stevens, I'm going to ask him, how did you write so many fucking songs about my life? How did you do that? Yeah.
Well, I just imagine being a worthless piece of shit, and then I hit record.
That's what I do.
Then I hit record.
That's what I do. That's the secret.
Corey, who's putting you in the fields? Who's getting you Blue?
It's Guy Clark, and the song is "Let Him Roll," which I consider to be it's up there on best songs ever written that aren't like, he's not a beautiful, I mean, Guy Clark was never a beautiful singer, and this is also like, he pretty much just talks through this song. I mean, this is just a story that's got a guitar behind it, but the whole story is there's this feller, and he works on, you know, freighters and elevators and in this cheap motel, and he's always hammered drunk on port wine, and he's telling this old dude about how the biggest love of his life was a whore in Dallas. I guess literally a whore in Dallas. He was talking about how he fell in love with a Dallas whore. And then every night he talks to this guy about how, like, she, you know, she ran off on him, and she's all he can think about, and blah, 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 blah. Well, then one night this old drunk, he drinks himself to sleep. And then of course they go to have his funeral, but he didn't have anybody. So here's the line that really, man, it'll kill me. The welfare people provided the priest, and a couple from the mission down the street sang Amazing Grace, and no one cried except some woman in the back, way off to the side. We all left, and she was standing there, a black veil covering her silver hair. And One-Eyed John said her name was Alice, and she used to be a whore in Dallas. So she made her way back to see this guy off, and it was like the last thing that he would have wanted. I'm just getting chills thinking about it right now, because I just have a lot of empathy for the homeless and the deranged and the drunks who were probably off at war. And you know, look, man, here's the deal. At the end of the day, we all deserve a whore from Dallas.
And there's nothing more deep than homeless people who go off to war.
Sure, right, yeah.
Okay, Cassio, do you have a song that makes you blue that, that hits you every time?
I've never seen Cassio fucking sad in my life. What'd you say?
I love it. Turns out she was a cute whore. Like, you weren't joking. I can't even sing. She's a whore from Dallas.
Well, I wanted to make that clear.
I thought you were summing it up for us.
And right, yeah. Like, I wanted to make it. Whore. I wanted to make it clear that I wasn't, like, he's not talking about a girl, and then me, Corey, was just like, yeah, he's talking about some whore. Yeah. Like, no, you're legit, shoot whore. You're right.
She wasn't a gimmick whore.
No, hell no, shoot whore.
We can't talk about gimmick whores in 2020. It's got to be shoot.
So, Cassio, do you, like, Corey said he's never seen you sad, and I've met your wife, so I can see why, but... Is there any song that just hits you every time you're like, excuse me, guys, I need a moment. I need to walk away for a while.
You know, music is the short answer is yes. Music, I do consider myself a positive guy, and I don't get down that much. But I do, if that brown liquor starts flowing, and I'm gonna take it out on some songs. And I guess just, you know, you never show it, and it's got to come out sometime. Doug Stone, I'd Be Better Off in a Pine Box. Son just murders me every time.
Slow train bound for Georgia and the gray walls of a prison doing time.
And I've had my heart broken, but nowhere near that much.
My God, son, nobody has.
But for some reason in my head, I am him in that song.
Let me tell you something. If you've had your heart broken like Doug Stone had in that song, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to write that song or you're going to kill everyone at a Walmart.
there's a bunch of songs that'll get in my feels. There's a newer one, Brothers Osborne, Let Me Love the Lonely Out of You is a great song. It's great when that brown liquor's flowing.
Did you say you don't get down much, Cassio? Like, that's something I can't even wrap my head around. Corey, do you have trouble even conceiving that being the case in anybody's life?
No, it's hard. I mean, that's it's all, like, I've told that about people about Cassio all the time. I'm like, this guy, when I tell you he's a barrel of fun and he's just one of the best people you could be around, because no matter what mood you're in, he'll lift your spirits. I've always been like, I fucking have literally never seen this guy even kind of sad. And the thing is, like, it's not like, oh, well, you know, you're not with him 24 hours a day. And that's true. That is fair. And that's
but
true.
But you have been.
I have been with him for 7 days. Yeah, for 7 days at a time. And in situations where any other human being would be wrapping a revolver around their lips. Like, me and him have done some of the worst fucking gigs. We're like, dude, one gig we did, I did have a mental break. I had a fucking straight up mental breakdown in this gig. And Cassio's still in the fucking green room, or not green room, but the condo, just like, dude, I'm making an 8-layer sandwich. Look at this shit. It's wild. Come here. Are you fucking in? You in on this fluffer night or something? And I'm like, I'm sitting out there like trying to figure out how to hang myself with a garden hose. And this motherfucker in here is just inventing sandwiches. Right. I've stayed at him in fucking like literal petri dishes of hotels. And he's just like, hey, man, they save money, so we get more in the back end. Skew. You know, like, he's a fucking lunatic. Like, I don't know what's happened. I almost believe like sometimes the government just built like a fucking fat happy robot to like keep everybody else in check, and they just made him go, because like, it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. But then again, you said, oh, well, I've seen Judy, so that makes sense. Dude, Judy is very, very late into the story of when I've known Matt Mitchell. Like, for years he was just out there by himself. Jeez. Just hitting and just being happy. Yes, and for reasons. And for reasons I have no idea fucking why. But I mean,
she jokes that she was like, the longer I dated, I was like, there's going to be that night where I see this dark guy come out. Like, it's got to be there. She's like, so far, so good.
Yeah, I've thought that before, too. But then again, like, I've known you too long. And, like, if you're truly – you can't hide it that – you can't hide true darkness that well. Unless you're fucking literally Dahmer.
It's true darkness. So, like I say, though, like, especially when I was – you know, when you're single and living in an apartment and – there'll be some brown liquor nights where all the lights are off and just music playing and headphones, and it's Those are actually great nights for me. I think it is cathartic of whatever I have built up that I don't let out. It does get out at some point.
They've definitely
you described like every day of my life.
I was about to say, but there have definitely been nights where I got hammered drunk on that brown liquor and listened to music and cried all night, and then the next day didn't at all consider that like a bad night. Like, that's good. Like, you know, like, don't get me wrong, crying is like, if you're crying, obviously in that moment you were sad about something, but like, after you're done crying though, and you're still drunk, it's like, yeah, I got that out.
I
could have cried sober like some sort of fucking queer, but I did it like a man. I got drunk.
I'd hate for my friends and family to see this and support me about it.
I'm going to do it while listening to music, and then I'm going to watch a John Wayne movie and beat off.
Coon?
No,
John Wayne and beat off? I figured you had something for that.
Are you in? I mean, you in on John Wayne and beating off?
I think the next time the three of us all get together, right, which will be at some point because Corey – is slow rolling again on a get together. I guess he doesn't want to die of coronavirus. But
no, I was about to say I'm not slow rolling shit. I'm not coming.
He's slow rolling, not get infected.
But the next time we all get together, we put on the last waltz. We take off our pants.
Conrad will hate each other, it.
You know, and that's it.
I can't imagine how much Conrad will hate the last waltz.
Oh my God, I couldn't imagine a show to make him watch that he would be out so fast on.
Yeah, he'd hate it.
He doesn't like superheroes, right? Like, he wouldn't watch the event. Right?
He doesn't like, if me and Cassio say that we like a thing, he's like, oh, cool, well, I bet that's the fucking stupidest shit I've ever heard of.
Hey.
The only thing he's ever liked that I've pitched to him is the song Vienna by Billy Joel.
Really? That hit for him?
He needed it, man. He needed it. He was describing everything that was going on. And I was like, I've been exactly in this position that Conrad's in, and this song always works for me. And I sent him Vienna by Billy Joel. And then once he got off the plane, he texted me. He's like, I listened to that motherfucker like 7 times in a row, and I went to sleep in such a better mood. I was like, slow down, you crazy child.
He just asked me because, like we said, he never listens to this. He was like, I said something about the P.O. box. He goes, how's it going? And I was like, good. I said, I just had one last week. He goes, what's some of the shit you're getting in your P.O. box? So I literally showed him a picture of this. It's Thor's a Mjolnir Thor's hammer this dude made a replica of and that's mailed awesome. To me. Look, Conrad. Okay.
It would hit a fake hammer?
Get it?
It would hit for me so hard if Conrad went to pick it up and he couldn't.
And then fucking like Jeff Jewett walks along and just picks
and
it up.
And it just comes right to him.
He couldn't pick it up.
And Mark Nelson's got, I've got it too. What's wrong, Conrad? He's throwing it up to himself.
All right, fellas. Thanks for, I like the new segment. I think I'm going to start doing that with everybody.
And we are too. Over on Through the Screen Door podcast with Corey Ryan Forster.
Thanks for joining us for our new segment with our guest, the Cassio Kid, on Through the Screen Door.
Cassio's cut. All right. You guys listen. Thanks for everybody for listening to this. I thank you guys for coming on, man. I don't give a shit that they're on Tuesday. Who cares? More the merrier. It's the whole podcast and family. That's the beauty of podcasts. You listen to them whenever you want to listen to them. So. I can't wait to listen to it right after this, guys.
Well, thanks, man. I can't wait to continue listening to Cassio's Cut, which is one of my favorite podcasts. And thanks for having me on for a record 3rd fucking time.
Yeah, Conrad will pay attention to that shit. Have I been on the most? No? Well, fucking come over. Let's record something.
And then me and you are recording an hour directly after that.
Put it in the chat right now. Just say, hey, Corey now has the record for the most times on my podcast. And Conrad will say something like, Cassio never asked me on his podcast.
And he will spend that entire podcast shitting on me, just prying my mouth open and just sealing his asshole like a ring around my lips and dumping right into my throat directly.
That's Through the Screen Door wrapped up right there. That was an alternate name as well for that entire monologue.
Cassio, can't thank you enough for having us on. And, of course, if you want to hear more political drivel like this from Corey Ryan Forster, Through the Screen Door pod, available on all the same platforms that you listen to Cassio's Cut on. And I have on good authority that Corey has listened to Cassio's Cut at least 2 times, and for sure it's going to be 3.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Coon's been on it twice now, right?
That's right. The first time we got a little letter from a lawyer, didn't we?
Yeah, we got a threatening lawyer, a lawyer letter. Not from Gibbon's attorney.
Oh, that don't hit.
From Corny's attorney.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, no, it was worth it. It was fun.
It totally was. It totally was.
All right, through the screen door. Thank you, guys. I'm rooting for you. Appreciate y'all coming on. And everybody watching and listening, thank you. Subscribe. Go like everything at Cassio's Cut. And then go find Through the Screen Door. They might have a YouTube right now. They might not. That's just the beauty of the scattered fuckery that is. What was it? Mask disorganization?
I think so.
It's a disorganization masked as flexibility. Masked
flexibility.
I will say that nothing on our show will probably be as good as this episode. This was fantastic. Thanks for having us.
Adios, muchachos. We better stop before we get embarrassed.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.